see all of you here to study the kings of Israel and Judah. And this time we come to Jehoshaphat as well as Ahab, a king that kept bad company, and that is Jehoshaphat. And we know his story well. And in order to appreciate what is going on here, I think we need to know a little bit about the historical background. And you know already, don't you, that after Solomon, the kingdom was divided into two. The northern kingdom is called Ephraim, 10 tribes up there. And then the southern kingdom is called Judah. And Judah is joined by Benjamin, so two tribes below, 10 tribes above. And in the northern kingdom of Ephraim, well, there were 19 kings altogether, beginning with Jeroboam, son of Nebat, or Jeroboam the first. Was he good or bad? Well, he was a very, very bad king. He departed from the ways of David, and the temple was in Jerusalem. But his kingdom was up north. Jerusalem was with Judah, not Ephraim. And so what did he do? Well, he told the Israelites, don't go down south, don't go to Jerusalem. It's all very political, you see. He wanted the power to have control over the tribes and the Israelites, because if they go to Jerusalem, they may be influenced by the southern kingdom. So to protect his power and to prevent the people from going down to Jerusalem to worship, and they ought to go to Jerusalem to worship. The temple was the God-ordained place. Well, he set up two imitation temples. One up in the north in Dan, and the other one in Bethel. And then he made two golden calves. One he put up north in Dan, and then the other one in Bethel. And he made these two imitation temples, one in the north, one in the south, to make things convenient for the Israelites. You know, you don't have to travel so far. I put it in a convenient place for you. Those of you up north can go up to Dan. Those in the south can go up to Bethel and worship the golden calf. That is Jehovah. Well, he introduced idolatry into the kingdom, and he ruled very wickedly, rebelliously against God. And so all the evil kings that came after him were all, you know, if they were bad, they would say, well, he walked not in the ways of David, but in the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. So very, very bad reputation. He became the prime example of what is a bad and evil king. So northern kingdom, Ephraim, 19 kings, beginning with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, all of them bad kings. Jeroboam was the worst, but there was another one equally bad, I would say. And that was Ahab, who married whom? Jezebel, the most wicked woman at that time, married Jezebel. And if Jeroboam introduced idolatry into Ephraim, into Israel, Ahab introduced Baal. He's the one who introduced Baal worship into Ephraim. And you know, right, how many Baal prophets did he have? 450. And of course, all because of his wife Jezebel. 450 prophets. And you know the famous battle on Mount Carmel. So, but nonetheless, all very bad kings up in the north, not one single good one. And of course, the two worst kings, Jeroboam and Ahab. Then the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom also had 19 kings, right? And one queen. And the queen was Athaliah. Now, who was Athaliah? Now, Athaliah was the daughter of Jezebel. And Jehoram, eldest son of of Jehoshaphat married, right, Jezebel. So it was an unequal yoke. So in such an unequal yoke, good or bad? Well, the problems in the north, the evil in the north was brought down to the south through this unequal yoke. Bad things happened after Jehoram married Jezebel. And Jehoshaphat, as a father, he allowed his eldest son to marry the daughter of this wicked queen, or Jezebel. And, well, like mother, like daughter, you can say. And later on, she assumed, all right, power in the southern kingdom. And of course, her reign was a murderous one. She killed many people, a lot of bloodshed, of course, a lot of idolatry as well. So, and 19 kings down south, mostly bad kings. A handful of good kings, four or five, so there were periods of revival. And the good kings were kings like Asa, right? Asa, Joash, and you have Hezekiah, right? And Josiah. And you may want to include number five, Jehoshaphat. Well, today we are going to study him. Well, he was not perfect. He made terrible mistakes, but still, the Lord still had good things to say about him. So about four or five, all right, if you include Jehoshaphat, five good kings in the south. But the rest, all also very evil and wicked, so much so that God had to judge them, judge the southern kingdom as much as he judged the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was overtaken by Assyria in 587, right? 586 BC. Sorry, not 586, but 721, right, BC. And the southern kingdom, Judah, taken by the Babylonians in 586. So you know the background now, all right? A little bit of the background. Now we come to Jehoshaphat, right? Now he began well. He began well. Now it's important for us to begin well and to end well. Well, Jehoshaphat began well, but didn't end well. So we read in chapter 17, all right, the context of chapter 18 is found in 17. Now in 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1, we read, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces, right? He placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, and which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. Right. So the significant thing here is the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat in the beginning was with God, because he walked in the first ways of his father David. David became the paragon, right? The example for all the other kings to follow. And if they are likened to David, then it's good for them. They have a good report. So Jehoshaphat walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Baalim, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. So we see good things from him. He sought the Lord, right? He sought the Lord. And then not only that, we also read that he was resolute. He was very determined to do that which was right. In verse 6 we read, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. So his heart was lifted up. Now, here it's not lifted up with pride. Sometimes this word is used with reference to pride, right? But here it has to do with being lifted up in a good sense, meaning he was zealous, he was resolute, he was determined, right, to do that which is good, to follow the ways of the Lord. So, moreover, he took away the high places, these are the idolatrous places, and groves out of Judah. Okay. So these are the good things he did. And what else did he do? Well, look at verse 8 and 9. It says here, And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah and Nethaniah and Zebadiah and Asahel and Shemiramoth and Jebonathan and Adonijah and Tobijah and Tobadonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Joram priests, and they taught. So he sent the Levites to teach, and they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Whole lot of teaching, whole lot of God's word. He got the people to study God's word, to know God's word, to do God's word. So there's something very good. A whole lot of Bible study in those days. And for all that he has done, because he sought the Lord, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, it was true also in that case. In this case, when you seek the Lord and his righteousness, well, the Lord will bless you with all that you need. And even more, he will add even. And that was what the Lord did for Jehoshaphat. He blessed Jehoshaphat and blessed his kingship, his reign. How did the Lord bless Jehoshaphat? Well, we read in verse 5. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 5. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand. And all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents. And he had riches and honor in abundance. So there were no conspiracies, no intrigues. No one tried to overthrow him. He was well established. And people respected him. And people regarded him as king. And they wanted him as king. So he was quite secure. No one tried to dethrone him. Okay, so he was established in his throne. And not only that, the people respected him and then even gave him gifts. All Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, right? Presents. And he had riches. He became wealthy. And he had a good reputation. He was honored. And he had riches and honor in abundance. Right? Look at how the Lord blessed him. Because he drew near to the Lord and sought his ways, his favor, and made his God's law the center of his rule, the Lord blessed him with riches, with honor, and also with peace. Right, look at verse 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. So not only peace within, right, within Jerusalem, within Judah, well, he also had peace outside, right, of Judah, so that his enemies, the heathen nations, did not trouble him also, did not go to fight with him. So he had a very peaceful reign. When your ways please the Lord, God also make your enemies to be at peace with you, right? So this was what Jehoshaphat experienced. And it was most blessed reign, I would say. You want to be king in such a situation. Peace within, peace without. And then much wealth and honor also bestowed upon him. And what more? Verse 11. Now the arch enemy of the Jews, namely the Philistines. I don't think they could ever get away from thinking of what happened in the battle between David and Goliath, right? The Philistines. So they were mortal and lifelong and arch enemies of Israel or Judah. But here in the time of Jehoshaphat, look at verse 11. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents. There were some of the Philistines, not all. Some still hated, right, Judah. But there were some of the Philistines who brought to Jehoshaphat presents. Right? They gave him gifts and tribute, silver. And the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams, and 7,700 he-goats, Philistines and the Arabs. They also came and paid homage and tribute to him from very unlikely sources. So, I mean, nothing can be better than this, right? The situation that Jehoshaphat found himself in, how the Lord blessed him. And with all the wealth that he had, right, the goods that he had, well, he embarked on a building program. So in verse 12, we read, "And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store." So he began to build. Of course, in times of peace and there's no war, a lot you can do, right, to further advance and enrich yourself. So he built castles and cities of store. And then also, he had a very powerful and courageous army, right, serving him also. We know of this, and if you look further in verse 13, it says here, "And he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, the soldiers, mighty men of valor, very brave, courageous men, were in Jerusalem. And they were at his beck and call. And there are the numbers, and these are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers, of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adna, the chief, and with him mighty men of valor, 300,000. So he had a very strong, right, army. Nation was peaceful. He had a strong army to defend, right, the cities. Personally, he had a lot of wealth and power and honor and authority. People liked him. The Jews, right, loved him, honored him, and even the Philistines and the Arabians brought him presents. So really, it was a wonderful time, right? Almost like heaven on earth, isn't it? But, you know, and yes, the Lord blessed. The Lord blessed him. But there is a warning over here. And I think we also have to be careful. In times when we are spiritual, we walk close with the Lord. The Lord, you know, is true to his promise. You draw near to me, I will draw near to you. If you honor me, I will honor you. You put me first in your life, I will put you first. And the Lord may bless us with many, many things, good things. Every good and perfect gift comes from our loving Father in heaven, and he enjoys, he's pleased to bless us with good things for us to enjoy. But because of sin in our hearts, we are not sinlessly perfect, there's always this danger that sin may rear its ugly head and may take control of us, so that when we are in a peaceful situation, in a healthy situation, in a prosperous situation, we begin to what? Forget God. We are enjoying so much of the things of the world and the pleasures of the flesh, and we take it easy. Then we begin to forget God, forget his law, and then begin to backslide, and then do that which is not good, not pleasing to the Lord. And that was what happened to Jehoshaphat. He started to forget, became insensitive to the glory and the honor of God and even to his commandments, and began to befriend those who hated the Lord. You cannot serve God and mammon. 100% loyalty to God. And the things that God has blessed us with, may we better be very careful not to turn all these things that the Lord has blessed us into our idols. And forget the source. Forget to worship the Lord and thank him, and to use all these things for his glory and for his good and extension of his kingdom. Instead, we use all these things for selfish reasons, and then we forget the Lord. And sometimes, yes, the Lord blesses us with all these things also to test us. Do you really love me? After, you know, I'm so good to you and bless you with all these things. Yes, you did well in the very beginning. But how much do you love me? How much will you remember me? How much do you know me? How much are you loyal and faithful to me after you are blessed with all these things? Sometimes the Lord is testing us. When He blesses us, He also is testing us. And I pray we pass the test. In times of good health, and God bless us with a good job, good career, we are secure, right? No threat of retrenchment. And the work that we have done is producing profit, right? And we have, you know, peace at home. We have good health to enjoy good things, right, that this life gives to us. And each time when we enjoy all these good things, if we have the health to eat good food, we must always thank the Lord. Not only, you know, don't, when we say grace and thank God for the food, let it not be something routine. Thank God, thank you, Lord, for the food. And then after that, you know, we just wallop the food without thinking of God. I think every time we, right, eat something nice, every bite we take, we chew, we savor the goodness. We should thank the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for good health. I think you enjoy the food much more each time. Don't just thank God in the beginning. When you eat the food, meditate on what? God's blessing. Do you do that? I think that pleases the Lord. We keep remembering the Lord. Right? Keep remembering the Lord. So Jehoshaphat should have continued to do this, but he did not. He began to forget God. So that's why we read in the next chapter, right? His backsliding. He began well, but didn't end very well. Chapter 18. So, verse 1, we read. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. So his riches and his honor is mentioned in conjunction with his alliance with Ahab. So this tells us, all right, you know, he became complacent because of his riches and honor, and then began to, he thought he is powerful enough, you know, he had all this wealth and power. I don't really need to, right, to consult the Lord. Well, I can do this for Ahab. And he joined affinity with Ahab. And I'm sure he knew the kind of man Ahab was. Someone who had no fear of God in his eyes. Someone who is so evil in his ways. And someone who is so irreligious and immoral. I mean, an idolatrous. I'm sure he knew all these things. And yet he went to befriend and made an alliance with Ahab. I'm sure his wife, her notorious name, most wicked woman that ever lived, right? And, Jehoshaphat should have known all these things. And yet, he went with Ahab. So this affinity with Ahab was an unequal yoke. And then what happened? Verse 3, Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. So when Jehoshaphat joined affinity with Ahab, Ahab, of course, will welcome him with open arms. Ahab had everything to gain, right, from this affinity with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was not weak. Jehoshaphat was very rich, very powerful, you know, had a very strong, courageous army. I can make use of him. So he comes to me, sure, I will embrace him. And then, of course, flatter him, say nice things to Jehoshaphat. So that was what Ahab did. He did all these things for very selfish and sinister reasons. And so we have in verse 3, and Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? So wilt thou go with me? Now, to Ramoth Gilead, to go there for what? Not for a holiday, right? Go there to fight, right? To go to war with me against the Syrians. And then look at what Jehoshaphat said. And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. Big mistake. You know, although this was done by Jehoshaphat, and he said all these things, he identified himself with Ahab, at least he had this good sense, right, to say, well, before we go to battle, let us inquire of the Lord, because that was the pattern set by David. David, before he went to war, always inquired of the Lord, Lord, is it your will? Will we be successful? If the Lord says, go, gives the green light, then they go. So, you see, so there's some vestige of spirituality left in Jehoshaphat, but he was backsliding, right? And then he joined affinity with Ahab, but yet he still knew how to inquire of the Lord. So in verse 4, he says, Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Ahab, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. So what do you expect the king of Israel to do? Well, he was idolatrous. He worshipped Baal. I'll get my prophets, and not one, but 400 of them. Therefore, the king of Israel gathered together the prophets, right? 400 men. These are, of course, all the false prophets. And said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle? Or shall I forbear? Well, these 400 prophets were all what? Employed by the king, paid by him. What do you expect the prophets to say? Sure, I bet he's my boss, you know. I better say nice things, good things to him if I want to keep my job. Not only keep my job, I want to keep my head. Right? So 400, all telling Ahab, oh, very good, very good. Go, you will have good success. God will deliver you. Go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. Sometimes I find it quite funny. Why would Ahab want to do that, right? He knew already what these 400 prophets would be saying to him, because I pay them to tell me all these things. So I know what they're going to say anyway. But you see this kind of foolishness of sinful men, right? They like to stroke themselves and praise themselves. They pay people to flatter them, tell them lies. And then they enjoy all these things. How blind can you get? And how blind can Jehoshaphat be? Inquire of the Lord. And Ahab, who do you expect him to get? Surely he will get his false prophets. And you expect the truth to come out from the false prophets? They are prophesying lies. And Jehoshaphat knew these are false prophets. And that's why later on he still had a good sense. Well, maybe let's get a second opinion, right? These false prophets. So let's get a second opinion. Is there not, someone else? Verse 6, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? These are all the prophets of Baal that you have. How about the prophet of the Lord? Is there no prophet of the Lord? Let's look for a prophet of the Lord, of Jehovah, that we might inquire of him, to ask of him. And of course, this upset, right, Ahab. Verse 7 says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, yeah, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. I hate him. You know, the person you hate, especially if you are someone wicked and idolatrous, and you hate him because, he tells you the truth. You are so bad, better repent. It's all for your own good. And he is the one you ought to hear, right? Not these people whom you paid to tell you what you want to hear. You want people to tell you what you do not know and what you do not want to hear, but it is the truth, right? And they have nothing to gain from you. You're not paid. They are not paid by you. They speak independently. They speak as God's messenger. So you should hear him. But you see, sin will blind you in such a way that you don't want to hear at all. You don't want to hear the truth. And here, Ahab says, I hate him. For he never prophesied good unto me. Yeah, what do you expect? You're such an evil king, married such an evil woman, introduce, Baal worship, break all the commandments. And what do you expect him to say? Well, he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. And name is the same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah, and Jehoshaphat said, well, let not the king say so. Don't say this of him. Well, maybe he, who knows what he will say this time, right? So the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, set either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria. Samaria, it's not Jerusalem. Samaria is the capital of the northern kingdom. And all the prophets prophesied before them. So all the 400 prophets were speaking also. And then they all said, yes, go, you will succeed. Push. This is what the Lord says. With these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. You will defeat Syria, and they will be destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it unto the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. There's consensus, 400 of them, and the majority, in fact, unanimous, all say, Go to Ramoth Gilead, fight, and you will win. So now you are supposed to go and prophesy and speak to the king. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. All right? Agree with them. Well, Micaiah, being a true prophet, he will not please men, he will only please God, and he will, as a true messenger, I will only say what God says to me. As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. And when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. Eh? I thought he's supposed to speak the truth. Judgment is coming, but here you have Micaiah agreeing with the false prophets. Go up, you will prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. Of course, all this is tongue-in-cheek. You see, already there is judicial what? Judicial hardening, judicial blinding. God is going to judge already. Right? So since you're already, hell-bent on going against God, going against His will, and you already determined in your heart not to heed God's word, well, God will give you up. God will give you over to believe in a lie. You already want to do this. So he sends his true prophet. Since you want to believe in a lie, this is a word of judgment against you. Go! Of course, he says go is go and die. Right? Go. You will prosper. Yeah, but you think you will prosper. But really the truth is you will die. And I think, Ahab was not stupid. He knew it was this tongue-in-cheek kind of statement in verse 15. And the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure you that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? Tell me the truth. He wants Micaiah to speak. Micaiah says, go. But you told your messenger to come and tell me to say what you want me to say because to agree with all these prophets. Now I tell you what you want to hear. And you say, speak the truth. Ahab was thinking, you see, when you don't have the Lord in your life and you hate the Lord, you think you're very clever. You become so blind to the truth that even when the truth is spoken, you cannot receive it. And even if it's a lie, you know it's a lie, you still want to believe in the lie. And yet you still want to hear the truth. And when you hear the truth, you're not happy. You reject it. And that was what happened. Verse 16, then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains. Now, you want the truth? Okay, let me tell you. I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, thou have no master. Let them return therefore every man to his house in peace. So you go, I'm not going to be with you. You all be scattered. You be defeated. Don't go. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me but evil? So he got, you know, Micaiah to say what? Micaiah must say as a messenger of the Lord to just tell Jehoshaphat, look, wasn't I right? He always speaks evil of me, never good. You see, that's to prove his point, to prove his case. And what happened? Well, you would think that by now Jehoshaphat's eyes would be open. Now the prophet of the Lord has come, Micaiah, one against the majority. Yeah, one, doesn't matter. One with God is majority. The other 400 prophets, notwithstanding, Micaiah says, you will not prosper. You'll be defeated. You'll be scattered. Bad things are going to happen when you go to battle. And you would think that Jehoshaphat would have realized already, oh, the Lord has spoken. This alliance with Ahab is not good. The Lord is not pleased. And I better not go. Right? But you find Jehoshaphat, you know, having no discernment whatsoever. I sometimes do not know what to think of Jehoshaphat. On the one hand, you know, there is this spirituality in him. Inquire of the Lord. See what the Lord says. And then now, you know, and then he saw all the false prophets speaking falsely, speaking lies. As a king, you shouldn't be, so gullible, isn't it? You should be very discerning. But you find in Jehoshaphat no discernment, and he was also very gullible. So later on, he told Ahab, let us go to battle, right, regardless of what Micaiah said. And you know, already, Ahab, knowing that trouble is coming, you know, he tried to protect himself and told Jehoshaphat that he will disguise himself. You know, I will be dressed as an ordinary soldier, but you put on your royal robes, dressed like a king, okay? I mean, if someone were to tell you like this, right, your partner, someone you're in alliance with, you dress like a king, but I'm going to dress like an ordinary soldier. Alarm bells will ring already, right? Should ring. Red flags up. Why, you are very cunning. Because out in battle, they will go for the captain, right? The king, the leader. You take the king's head, all the rest of the soldiers will scatter. You have the victory. It'll go for you. So Ahab, although, you know, he despised the word of the Lord, and he was against Micaiah. He never prophesied good about me, but only evil. But he knew that the bad thing that was prophesied against him was the truth. So he already prepared himself. And he thought he could outsmart God. Well, I will disguise myself, right, and let Jehoshaphat, right, look like the king. He is the one, right, in leading the battle, and then they'll go for him, not me. You know, he thought he could outsmart God. But God cannot be outwitted, right, by puny men. But the thing is this, Jehoshaphat was so gullible. He should have at least said, well, if you want to disguise myself, then I better camouflage myself also, right? For self-protection, he didn't. How come so gullible? You know, sometimes when you stray away from the Lord, you become very foolish. You're so in tune with the world, the things of the world, that your spiritual sensitivity has been dulled. Instead of being wise, you become foolish in your ways, in your decisions, in your activities. And do stupid things. Have you experienced that before? I knew in those days when I backslided from the Lord, when I was in secondary school, and when I look back, I said, why did I do all these stupid things? So stupid. But in those days, you don't think you are stupid. You thought you are doing something good. You're enjoying yourself. You know, these things are good, when actually they are very bad. When you look back, why did I do all these things? So foolish. When we backslide from the Lord, we become desensitized to the Lord's presence and His Word. We do stupid things, which we will regret later on. So that was, I think that's the only way we can explain how Jehoshaphat can be so gullible and so undiscerning. So he went into battle, and what happened? Well, when the Syrian saw Jehoshaphat in all his royal robe, of course they went for him, and he was cornered. He would have died. But Jehoshaphat again had the good sense to what? Cry out to the Lord, "Lord, please help me and save me." God had mercy on him and delivered him. God still wanted to use Jehoshaphat, right? So because he cried out to the Lord, good thing he cried out to the Lord. If he did not cry out to the Lord, he could have already died then. But because he cried out to the Lord was merciful to save him. But Ahab, although disguised, he kena. And he was shot and he was killed in the battle. You think you can escape from God? Already the prophet says, you will go to battle and you will die. And you think you can be so clever to disguise yourself or to hide yourself in such a way that you can thwart the plan of God and the judgment of God? Nothing doing. So Ahab was killed in battle, but the Lord saved Jehoshaphat. So over here, what lesson do we learn? Well, indeed, bad company corrupts good morals. Bad communications corrupt good manners. And it's true. The unequal yoke here. And of course, this principle is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. You turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It's good for you to underline this verse, this principle over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Let us read together, shall we, this verse. I think it's good if you will highlight this and underline this. Let us read. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Right? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So this king, Jehoshaphat, who kept bad company, well, corrupted his good sense and good manners, right? And did that which was evil in God's sight. And God was, of course, angry with him. But still, the Lord showed mercy, right? Because of the good that he had done. He had backslided. The Lord had to chastise him. And then bring him back to himself. So we find that Jehoshaphat was rebuked. Right? He was not left alone. Chapter 19, right? We read here, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. At least he went back intact. Worse things could have happened to him, but the Lord had mercy. He went back to Jerusalem in peace, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. And said to King Jehoshaphat, Shouldest thou help the ungodly? Ahab, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them? You love them that hate the Lord. Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. The Lord is very angry with you for this unequal yoke. You help the ungodly and you love them that hate the Lord. Verse 3, nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, that thou hast taken away the gross out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. So the Lord showed much mercy, was very, very patient with Jehoshaphat, but rebuked him very, very severely. Right? And I think Jehoshaphat learned his lesson over here. You know, he should have followed the ways of David. And when Ahab said, you know, when he spoke of Micaiah, messenger, prophet of the Lord, and says, I hate him. He never said anything good about me, always evil, and I hate him. When Jehoshaphat heard these words from here, I hate the prophet of the Lord, you know, he should have been righteously angry already. You hate the messenger of the Lord, the prophet of the Lord. You're saying you hate the Lord himself because he's God's representative. And Jehoshaphat should have said, well, I love the Lord, and you since you hate the Lord, I'm going to cut off every relationship with you. I'm going back. Forget about this affinity and this alliance. He should have said that. He didn't. He loved those who hated the Lord. And God is very jealous. Jehoshaphat should have had the heart of his father David. Then he would have done well. Turn to Psalm 137. Sorry, 139. Psalm 139. There is such a thing as holy hatred. Let us read what David said here. Let's read from verse 19. Shall we read from verse 19 together in unison up to verse 22? Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. David had this kind of a heart, right? Holy hatred for the enemies of God, who took the name of God in vain, who hate the Lord. And he is very grieved with those who rise up against God, like Ahab. And yet Jehoshaphat can say, I love you. It's unholy, right? Sinful love. Right? When he should have this kind of holy hatred for Ahab and all the evil that was in the land. So let us make sure we have, all right? We want to have sincere, truthful love for God. At the same time, we love the Lord. We must also have this virtue of holy hatred against all that is sinful and evil and hateful to God. And of course, this means we must practice separation. This biblical separation, right, at work. Problem with Jehoshaphat is he did not practice separation. Trouble came. So we must practice biblical separation. It's very important. I'm thankful that the Bible Presbyterian Church took a very strong stand against liberalism, modernism, new evangelicalism, charismatism, and all these false isms that are out there. And that's one reason why the Lord has blessed the BP Church all these years. But when the Lord has blessed, we become rich, we prosper. What happens? We begin to forget, complacent. And today, the BP Church. Yeah, there are many BP churches out there which are already forgetting the good word of God, the good grace of God. When we drew near to Him and took a stand for the Lord, defended His word, the Lord blessed, and separated ourselves from all kinds of unbelief and compromise. The Lord bless Keith Hinton, former professor at Singapore Bible College, wrote a book, Growing Churches Singapore Style, and he did a study, he reported the BP Church is the fastest growing church in Singapore, second only to the Charismatics. And of course, you know how the Charismatics win the crowd. But we take an unpopular stand, and yet the Lord bless with growth. Those who honor the Lord will honor. God gave the increase. But once we have been enlarged and the Lord prospers, we begin to forget. And there are those who are forgetting right now. And there is already a backsliding, a serious backsliding. And if this is not arrested, well, the BP Church can become an apostate church. But right now, of course, we are not one denomination. I mean, there's a denominational name, but every BP church now is autonomous. Well, we want to make sure we be part of this remnant that will keep to the original foundations, our founding fathers, to fight the good fight of faith. But there are other independent local BP churches already departing. Loving those who hate the Lord. So we learn from this example. Don't be like Jehoshaphat. Be like David. Have a true heart of love for God and for men, and also a holy hatred against the devil and all those who will speak against the Lord and hate Him for all that God is. So, no two ways about it. May the Lord help us to continue to practice separation in our lives and in our church. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, which is truth. Grant, O Lord, to us much grace to obey and to fulfill Thy good word and Thy goodwill in our lives. So we thank Thee for all Thy blessings, but Lord, Thy many blessings in our lives should cause us to draw even closer to Thee. We don't deserve all these things, and yet You bless us with all of them. What we do, which is right, is only our duty, and yet You have been pleased to bless. And we pray, O Lord, that our faith will be truly faithful. Be faithful to Thee to the very end. So help us never depart from the left or to the right. Help us to keep good company with those who love Thee and will honor Thee, who will follow Thy truth, and to warn all who hate Thee and who rebel against Thee that there is judgment coming, and continue to preach the good news that they may hear and may Thou by Thy mercy save some. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name.